Blessing this morning. He is here, and he is here because we are here, and he embodies the believer, and what a blessing that is to know that when we leave here, he is still with us, and to guide us, to direct us, to help us, and to show us the path of life. Amen? Amen. And I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. We'll say it's so good to see each and every one of you this morning. And thank you for those who are watching by way of Facebook. And we hope that you receive a blessing by viewing today. And kind of an eventful week we've had this past week. And got some updates on certain folks. But want to say that we had Miss Betty Berry, her homegoing service on Tuesday. And Brother Allen and myself, we shared in that official in that moment, and we both were able to minister together, and speak on Miss Betty's behalf, and what a blessing that was. I never experienced the releasing of the doves. Has anybody at a home going at a funeral service ever to graveside? This was my first time,
Brother Allen,
and I want to tell you what. I'm glad that outside my glasses they tint and they get dark, because I want to tell you it is very moving, very moving. The doves were released, and you know sometimes I'm slow to catch on to things. And so they were released and they were sticking together and they flew together. I said, look at there, they're staying together. But you know that's the whole point, is that they stay together. And Brother Allen told me that they actually go back to their home, wherever that they, whatever they came from. And so that was very, very moving and very touching. We just thank the Lord for the life that Miss Betty lived, the testimony that she leaves behind. And it's a blessing where you don't have to wonder where someone's at after they pass away. But nonetheless, let's remember Miss Terry. Let's remember, of course, Brother Allen and days ahead. We all know life is different. There's that empty seat at the table. There's the missing of their presence. But let's remember them. Also received word that Brother Jimmy Harper has passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And his services are going to be at the Jeff Eberhardt Funeral Home. And Tuesday will be the actual, at 2 p.m. will be the actual funeral service. And visitation will be tomorrow from 5 till 8 p.m. Jeff Eberhardt Funeral Home in Dallas, Georgia. So remember that and remember the family. Remember Miss Ruby Harper as well. And she's having a very tough time from what I hear, as you can imagine. So let's remember these requests. Also, it was made known to us a little while before church on Wednesday that Miss Krista and Krista Sapp, Ethan Sapp, tested positive for COVID-19, and so they're trying to combat that and get over that. And so let's pray for them and their recovery, and so we'll be remembering them. Miss Mary Kelly, she requested prayer for this Wednesday. She has an oral surgery appointment, and those are not fun, are they? And but let's remember Miss Mary, praying for you, Miss Mary Kelly, this coming up Wednesday for your oral surgery appointment. Brother Jim Daly, talked to him this morning. He called, and he's preaching today by way of internet to the Indonesian church. And he said, Brother Justin, as of right now, today, I'm not wearing my oxygen tank. And so that's the praise. That's the praise. So they're testing that out by him teaching and seeing if he should need that aid in the next time he teaches. But he did request prayer for Mark Daly, who has, the flu or flu-like symptoms. Let's pray for him. And also John Ashworth is having a tough time. And so this morning there's several other requests, all kinds of needs. I'm sure there's many unspoken requests this morning. But the Lord's here, and he knows exactly what you need. And while sometimes we, on accident, overlook things, God never does. He's intentional, and so he knows your needs this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to give it back to Brother Allen, and you be in prayer for the service this morning. Father, we come in Jesus' name today, and Lord, we're thankful for such a loving and caring church, Lord. I know that it's been busy with, seems like, sickness and death even. But Lord, we do pray today for the Harper family, that you would be with them and strengthen them during this time. Be with Miss Ruby in a very mighty way. Be real to her, God. My prayer, comfort her heart. Miss Terry in the days ahead as she faces each day and the close of each day. We know that things will be different, but I pray that your sufficient grace would be with her, be real to her, give her that new grace, Brother Allen and family. Pray for Miss Mary and her appointment on Wednesday, that you'll touch her in a mighty way, Lord. Solve the problems that she's going to have taken care of. And for the Dalys and their family, we pray for the very best for them. Lord, we pray for Calvary Baptist Church this morning, all the members. Father, we lift everyone up to you. We pray that encouragement will be found today. Strength will be found today. Lord, we're only meeting one time a week. Lord, it's consistent. And I just pray that we'll all be encouraged and challenged today. And again, we pray for your blessings upon our children's home. Dear Lord, that you would be with all the staff, Lord. Be with all of our young people, God. Pray that you protect them, be with them in their schooling. Give grace and strength to the house parents as they help along with those things. Father, be with our nation, be with our world, be with our government, the election that's coming up. Our hope ultimately is in you. But Lord, we hope and we pray for the best for America at the same time. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me just say this morning from our family to our church family this morning, we want to thank you. I could never find the words. I didn't bring a card with me this morning. I apologize, but I just want to share my heart with you for just a minute. And I want to thank you for all the food. I want to thank you for all of the visits. I want to thank you for everything that you've done over the past several weeks for our family. And thank you, Randy, for your willingness to help us. We were able to lay down a couple of songs, and David's unable to be here with us this morning. He's not feeling well, so please remember him in prayer. But he's done a wonderful job at the service. Pastor, thank you. It was an honor to be able to share a few words and just to be able to serve together in that capacity. But I just want to, more than anything, thank you for all the Facebook messages, everything, all the calls, cards, everything coming from everywhere. I know we're not able to get together like normal, but I want to tell you that I have so felt your prayers, and Terry said the same thing. We know that you're praying for us. We know that you're supporting us, lifting us up to the Lord, and that's what I want to thank you most of all for this morning. Please continue to pray for us. She is actually there at the house this morning. We have some things that we need to take care of, so please just continue to remember us in prayer, and just ask the Lord to wrap his arms around them and Terry and Sherry and the family, grandkids, great-grandkids. It's been a very weathering time. I don't know exactly what the words would be. Again, this morning, I could never find the words to tell you how much I appreciate you and how much I thank you, and I just want you to know that I love you and thank you for the way that you have loved on us. Let's do page number 120, and let's all gather and stand and sing this morning about the victory that we have in Jesus, church. Everyone sing now.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory on the last night. the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory.
Pray for us this morning. It's a little different not having the choir, and we're just having to kind of work around things, but praise the Lord, we've been able to do so. Amen. And so you just continue to remember the music in prayer, and those that are working, thank you, Miss Catherine, for your faithfulness, and Brother Randy for helping us everywhere we need him. He's always there, it seems. Amen. And I just thank Brother Randy more than I could ever tell him. But let's remember one another in prayer. Please remember all these prayer requests this morning. Some folks going through very difficult times and actually have an unspoken prayer request. I'd rather not say exactly who or what it is, but the Lord knows all about it. And again, a lot of folks going through difficult times, and ask you to remember that prayer request this morning for me. Where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I am redeemed. I am redeemed, bought with has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, just tell them I am redeemed. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of his love, I'll tell of his goodness, God's goodness to me. For he purchased my redemption with his own precious blood. And from sin I've been set free. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. And if anybody asks you just who I am, just tell them I am redeemed. If anybody asks you just who I am, just tell them I am.
Two places this morning. We're going to be in the book of Psalms, Psalm 55 in verse number 6, and then Isaiah 40 verse 31. Book of Psalms, Psalm 55 in verse number 6, and Isaiah chapter number 40 verse number 31. I have
preached from Psalm 55 and verse number 6 many a times. I've actually have shared this at funeral services. But I want to mention this verse this morning by way of introduction. Psalm number 55 and verse number 6, and then Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. It's not often that I have two separate verses like that, but for the message this morning, that's what I want us to look at. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we will read these verses. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. Lord, we're thankful for the music this morning with the message. Thankful for Brother Allen. We're thankful for Brother Randy, Miss Catherine, Lord CJ, those in the sound room. We're thankful for a serving church who wants to serve their Lord. Even in spite of a pandemic, Lord, that passion to serve carries on. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that you would hide me behind the cross. Father, I want to communicate the truths you spoke to me about to the hearts of your people. And I pray, Holy Ghost, that you will do so. And by the time we leave, I pray that we would be better Christians. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Book of Psalms, chapter number 55. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Isaiah chapter number 40, in verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. These two verses that I read this morning in your hearing have to do with two different kinds of birds. In Psalm 55 and verse number 6, we have the dove. In Isaiah 40 and verse number 31, we have the eagle. Let me say this morning that the dove, one of these birds, and more specifically the dove, wants to take flight. And the eagle wants to fight. One of these birds wants to take the high road, and the other bird wants to flee. With that thought this morning, I want to preach a few moments on this subject: fight or flight. Fight or flight. I guess it goes without saying that America, the world even, has been going through a fight. But more so than that, actually, even before this pandemic took place, and long after the pandemic is gone, and I'm still hoping and praying that God will heal our land, that we all experience rough places in life. We all at times get to a place where we want to take flight. Have you ever been there before in a situation in life where you just wanted to run away? Maybe there's someone watching this morning and you're going through a situation, and we've been using the pandemic, seems like forever, but maybe a different kind of situation. You're encountered with a situation and you want to take flight. You want to run away from this situation. You want to flee. Most everyone in this room, I can say, has encountered hardships before where you have actually, you may not have uttered it with your lips, but you've thought about just leaving, taking flight. I'm not talking about suicide this morning. I'm talking about just leaving, fleeing, trying to get to this magical place that doesn't really exist, where there's no problems. This morning there's two birds. There's a dove and there's an eagle. One of those birds wants to fight. The other bird wants to take flight. Where are you this morning? Are you at a place in your life, your Christian life, if you're saved, where you feel the Lord and you're feasting from His Word and His promises, and you have that spirit of fight? You just want to take the high road and soar over your problems. Well, that's where we all of us ought to be. That's the goal, isn't it? The goal is to rise above our problems. And our goal this morning is to soar above, not flee from. You see, the easy thing to do in life is flee from your problems, is to take flight. The dove is a pure bird. The dove is a harmless bird. And there's times where there are hawks and vultures and ravens that try to get at this harmless bird. And what it wants to do is it wants to take flight. It wants to leave the harsh environment that it's in. And it wants to just run away. Have you ever been there before? Where you wanted to just run away and do kind of like what David said. Notice if you would in Psalm 55 verse number 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I'm sure we all arrive at those places at times where we just want to escape. We want to avoid confrontation. We want to avoid friction. And if it was up to us and we could get away with it, we would just love to fly away. That takes a whole new meaning of the song, I'll Fly Away, doesn't it? We those of us that are saved, we know we're going to eventually fly away to heaven by way of rapture. But until then, sometimes we just want to fly away. We just want to go and be by ourselves somewhere where we're not bothered or bugged. And David mentions this emotional experience. He said that he wished he had wings. So this morning as we began to look at these two birds in these two different passages of Scripture, I just want to challenge you to stay in and fight. I want to challenge everyone this morning, including myself, to take the high road and soar above your problems. Allow God to minister grace unto you. Allow Him to pour into your heart the ability to overcome this morning. God hasn't called none of us to be quitters, has He? He's called all of us to be soarers. Those who would mount up with wings as eagles and not run this way from our problems, but fly above our problems, go through our problems with Him. Fight or flight. Just a few things this morning I want to mention and I hope it'll be a blessing. Number one, when it comes to this subject of fight or flight, there are challenges in life to understand. There are challenges in life. When it comes to fighting or when it comes to flighting, rest assured, they all come from challenges we have in life. Sometimes our faith can be challenged. Sometimes our faith can be challenged. You remember the story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9? In fact, turn over there if you would for a moment. Mark, chapter number 9, in verse number 24. We have a story here of a man, of a dad, and he had a son. And he had a dumb spirit. And this dumb spirit had overtaken him, and many, many dangerous scenes. These verses tell us some have to do with fire, and then others he's foaming at the mouth. And so Jesus appears on the scene. The disciples attempt to cast out this spirit of dumbness. But in verse number 24, the Bible says this. And this is the dad speaking to Jesus. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And this was a situation the man was in that had to do with his faith being tried. His son had this spirit where he was dumb, meaning his speech, and he had all of these problems that went along with that. The disciples tried to cast out this spirit of dumbness, and it didn't work. And now Jesus is approaching him. In fact, in verse number 23, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And so the man says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever been there before? Where you was at a crossroads in life where it was either A, fight, or B, flight. And sometimes what's wrapped up in that is a challenge of our faith life. Something is being tested with our faith. Lord, I believe that you can do all things. Lord, I believe that you can cure this pandemic. Lord, I believe that you can cure my family problems. Lord, I believe that you can touch me, and I believe you can increase strength. And Lord, I believe you can do all things, but Lord, help my unbelief. It's a place that sometimes we arrive at with faith and doubt. And I want to say that when it comes to these challenges in life, sometimes our faith is challenged. Are you there this morning where your faith is being challenged? And you question within yourself, will I live to see the end of this pandemic? Will I live to see things as they once were? Faith and doubt, when the two things are mixed, the two elements are mixed. A lot of us arrive at this place, don't we? And I think in a moment of passion and belief in one hand, but yet doubt in the other hand, we're wrestling, and part of us wants to fight, but the other wants to take flight. I want you to notice, again in verse number 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then in verse number 24, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. These disciples couldn't do it. The Lord could do it. But yet this man was at an intersection of faith and doubt. Are you there this morning? Are you at this intersection of faith and doubt? Listen, there are challenges in life, and sometimes our faith can be challenged. Other times, there can be challenges in our families. There can be family friction. There can be family problems. And these things are real challenges in life. There can be friendship problems that come into our life. And sometimes it can get so intense, you just want to take flight. You don't want to stay in and fight for the friendship. Let me say this. There was a situation in Matthew 16. Turn to Matthew if you would. We're going to be at a couple different places this morning. Matthew 16. Jesus making his way toward the cross. Matthew 16, verse number 23 is the actual statement I want to read. But in verse number 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." And so here was Peter after Jesus said what he was here to do, and he has reiterated, "I've come to die and redeem and be raised again." Peter said, "Not so. Not so, Lord." In fact, verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.'" Verse number 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me.'" The word offense or offense here, it means stumbling block. You see, Peter was being a stumbling block to Jesus. And Jesus says, in this moment, "Peter, get behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block or an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." I want to say this morning that there are challenges in life. And sometimes there can be friendship challenges. Praise the Lord if you have some good friends. Those that you can call on that will pray for you. Those that who will not talk about you behind your back. Those who are here to encourage you. But sometimes there are other people who say they are your friends, but really, they are a stumbling block to you. They can be an offense or offense to you. You see, Peter was being a stumbling block. Not that Jesus would stumble or falter or fail or detour from his Father's plan. But Jesus said, "Peter," or he said, actually the words were in verse 23, "But he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan.'" Sometimes in life, we get to these intersections with friends and we really need to count the cost if they're really beneficial to us. Or are they a stumbling block to us? And so many times we are faced with challenges concerning friendship. We face challenges concerning families and our faith. And then, of course, there's the financial challenges. What I want to say this morning about the subject of fight or flight in life, we're going to have challenges. And these were just to name three or four of them. Faith, families, friendship, and finances. If anyone says that there are no challenges in life, then that's the person that's not in the game of life. They're on the sidelines watching the game go by. There's a second thing I want to mention this morning. Not only there are challenges in life, but number two, there are choices that must be made. There's choices that must be made. What are we going to do when these challenges arise? It may be a faith problem. It may be a family problem. It may be a friend problem, financial problem, any kind of problem. The question is, what are we going to do when they come along? When these challenges arise in life, am I going to face them or flee from them? Fight or flight? Let's see what David did. Let's see David's reaction during his time of adversity back in Psalm number 55. What was David's response to adversity? Well, I read it to you, but we'll read it again in verse number 6 of Psalm 55. "And I said, 'Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest.'" David says, "It's just too much for me. It's too big and it's too hairy. I just want to fly away." No doubt David was going through a great time of adversity in his life. Let me say this about a dove. A dove is harmless, a dove is innocent, and a dove is pure. And no doubt David is liking himself into this bird who is pure and who is innocent. In verse number 1 down through verse number 5 of Psalm 55, we see that David tells us what he's feeling. In verse number 1, he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." Listen to this in verse number 3. "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." David tells us his adversity. David's adversity was that he was being treated unjustly by others, and they were slandering his character. They were forging lies about David. And all of this was surrounding this man of God, David. And so he's crying out to God for help. And in the midst of the voice of the enemy, verse 3, "and because of the oppression of the wicked." And then he says, "For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." David says, "This is my diversity." He says, "There are those who are trying to slander my character. I'm being treated unjustly." Look at the word oppression in verse number 3. That word oppression in verse number 3, it means to be crushed by a heavy weight. I was at Home Depot the other day, and I had to get a cart, the big moving carts. I had a heavy object, and so I laid that heavy object on that cart. And no doubt it wasn't crushing a cart. The cart was like steel, but it was on it, and it was heavy. And if I didn't have those four wheels, that cart, I couldn't move that heavy object. In like manner, David is saying, "I'm going through a time of oppression from the enemy." He says, "My character's being slandered. I'm being dealt unjustly." And David says that I'm weighed down. It's heavy. It's crushing me. Have you ever been through something in your life where you were being slandered? Maybe not to that extent, but maybe you're in the scope of the enemy, the devil. We all have. And maybe he's trying to crush your spirit. Maybe he's trying to whisper you're a failure. Maybe he's trying to tell you that you're never going to live a life of victory. And maybe he's trying to bring up your past. It's crushing on the spirit. It's weighty. Like pulling a cart with a big heavy object. That's your day. Day in and day out. You're a poor cart with a heavy object on it. You're being crushed. And David said, in the moment of this situation, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, because I would just fly away." Sometimes things get too hot and things get too heavy and hairy. You don't even want to deal with them in life. You just want to fly. You want to get away from it all. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. Have you ever been there before? Huh? Well, you felt like a Home Depot cart with a big lawnmower on it. And you going in and out of your day, and every time you wake up, it's heavy. Every time you go to sleep, it's heavy. And there's no departing from that. You just want to fly away. We see David. But I want you to see something. There's a problem with flying away from your problems. Look in verse number 7. "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness," Selah. Or think on that a minute. The wilderness in the Bible is a place that is uninhabited by people. It's a lonely place. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know the only drawback, Brother Allen, with wanting to fly away is isolation. Whenever we are wounded, whenever we're wounded, we're vulnerable, we isolate ourselves, that is the time that Satan comes for you. That's the time Satan comes from me. That's why it sounds good when somebody says, oh, I just want to fly away. It sounds good when David says, oh, I wish I had wings like a dove. I just fly away and be in the wilderness. There's nothing good about the wilderness. The devil is in the wilderness. He is in that place of isolation to tempt us and to tell us, we're done. Nobody loves you. Your life is over. No more victory. You are done, mister. That's what the devil wants to tell you, and he wants to tell me during our times of life where these situations arise. And listen, there's choices to be made, and sometimes we just want to fly away. But the place that David wants to fly away to is not necessarily beneficial to him. Now we know in Matthew 4, verse 1, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. But that was just so that he could combat and win the victory over the devil to show him who's boss. We know that. He quoted Scripture 3 different times. But we're not Jesus. And we have a choice to make. Yes, those who are saved, he is in you. He is in me. But at the same time, there is nothing good about running from your problems. Get to a place of loneliness. Get to a place of isolation. Get to a place of believing the lies of the devil. And so this morning, we see that there are choices that must be made. David said, I wanted to fly away. Let me mention one more thing. Not only there are choices that must be made, but there are consequences to bear. Now, if I flee, there's temptation. There's trouble. And so on the flip side of that, if I face it, there's triumph. If I flee from it, there's temptation, there's trouble. But if I face it, there can be triumph. Let's look at the second bird, Isaiah 40. Now, when you get to Isaiah chapter number 40, I want you to notice actually in verse number 28. The writer says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that, listen to this, have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Young people, y'all get tired too. Us adults don't believe it, but we know you do. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The consequences of facing your problems is triumph. The consequences of fleeing your problems is trouble. And Jesus this morning doesn't want any of us to flee from our problems, but he wants all of us to face our problems. He wants to show us that we can soar above. He wants to show us that there is a fourth man loose in the fire. He wants to show us that we don't have to run from our problems, but we can resolve our problems. We can move forward in this life. We don't have to backslide on God. We don't have to get a step with God. We can fight and face our problems. When fighting or facing your problems, There's a divine order to follow in order to experience the triumph. Notice this in verse number 31. Waiting is involved. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting is involved. If we are going to, when these challenges of life arise, if we're going to face them, if we're going to handle them correctly, if we're going to soar above our problems, listen, we are going to have to be patient in our problems. I'm like a lot of people. When problems in my life come, I want to solve them just like that. Bro, CJ, just get it done. Be done with it. Over, behind me. I'm a man like you men are men. You know, we want to, we see the solution. We want to go for it. We want to be over with. No emotions, nothing like that. Be done. But the Lord wants us to wait on Him during our problems. He wants to be our counselor in our problems. He wants to be our guide in our problems. In fact, we ought not to take one step when we're walking through that valley of the shadow of death without Him being the leader in that valley. The word wait here, it means to bind together by twisting. In fact, it's the same idea of the same word wait in Psalm 37, verse 7. Listen to this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. The word wait in Psalm 37, 7 and in Isaiah 40, 31 is the same word. But in Psalm 37, 7 has a slightly different twist on it. It means to twist or whirl in a circular motion. I think about the, if I could use this illustration, I think about the old dish rag, Brother Ceylon, in the sink. You've done dishes, and it's time to wring that water out. You wring it out, and you lay it. I don't guess. I mean, we use sponges now, but... Dish rags. Growing up, I can remember mom and grandma and them old dish rags. Tattered dish rags. They would wring them out. And just right when you think there's nothing else, just get it all out. I want to say in like manner, when it comes to dealing with our problems and soaring triumphantly over our problems in life when challenges arise, it is a wringing out process. Sometimes it's painful. But I want to say to do the right thing, sometimes it involves pain. The easy thing to do is flee. The easy thing to do is run. And the easy thing to do is dodge the bullet. But listen, eventually that bullet will get you. Can't always dodge the bullet. This, I'm making a saying here. There's no threat on anybody. And sometimes there is pain in the process, especially when we're waiting on God. Sometimes it's painful because we go down and pray, and I know myself, Lord, I want it over. Lord, can you just heal this person? Can you just intercede here? I want it over. But yet at the same time, I want to do the right thing. And guess what? Sometimes it isn't over when I say amen. Most of the time it's not. Most of the time days and weeks roll by and it seems like there is no answer. But we know God is hearing our prayer. We stay confessed up to date and we're from a pure heart. It's a twisting process. It's almost like we're a dish rag and we're being twisted and we're being churned from within because we need God to move in our behalf because we want to soar and we want to do the right thing. The first step when it comes to being triumphant in your situation is waiting on God. It's waiting. He's our sufficiency. The word or the phrase, but they that wait upon the Lord, and in the verses I read prior to that, it's this waiting on God is an expectation. And I just got through reading the verses, verse number 28 down through verse number 30, said all of these great things about the Lord, said all of the things about his sufficiency and all the things about our deficiency. But then he says, but, or I promise, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is a confident expectation. If you are in any trouble this morning and you want to take the high road, you want to do what's right, you want to handle your problems, it may be a lot of twisting involved, it may be a lot of pain involved, but you wait on the Lord, he will come through for you. He will come through and be your God. I think about Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33. If we read these together, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You see that in harmony with Isaiah and Matthew? It's all about his sufficiency in our inability. It's all about putting him first. It's all about basking in him. It's all about going to prayer in him. It's all about casting that care on him. It's all about during the painful process being stretched, faith being exercised, and at the right time, he will give you wings to fly. Sometimes, though, it takes flying lessons. Notice something else in verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So waiting is part of the process. But notice he says, shall renew their strength. That word renew speaks for itself, but I'll just give you another spin off on that. Renew means to change. To change. You wait on God and put him first. Continue on, whether you feel him, sense him, can't trace him or not, by his word you know he's there. Telling you, he will change your strength level. He will allow you to continue on as the day arises and the needs be, so shall his strength be. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It means to change. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 8. The Apostle Paul was begging for delivery. Lord, remove this thorn. In fact, at least three times, he besought the Lord concerning this thorn. And then finally, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And the scriptures go on and says that, in fact, Paul, of course, speaking, being the writer there, he says, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may be upon me. You see, Paul's strength was renewed. He waited upon God. He kept coming with his complaint. He kept asking for thorn removal. And the Lord finally said, Paul, no. But I will give you strength to keep going. And then from there on out, we see that Paul he's encountering this, he's encountering that, especially there in Romans as we finish out that chapter. I mean, 2 Corinthians as we finish out the chapter there. Most gladly, persecutions, bring it on. Distresses, bring it on. Not that it was fun or exciting, but that he knew his strength would be renewed for that job. Some of you this morning are at an intersection. Do I fight or do I take flight? God wants you to soar. He promises that if you wait on him and allow him to guide you through that process, he will change your strength. He will renew your strength. And then he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And so basically, you will be able to ascend above your problem. You'll be able, as the eagle does, to soar above the circumstance. The easy thing to do is to It's a want to fly away, but the Lord wants to lead us through our problems. And when we wait upon Him and rest in His promises, He will change our strength and you will find yourself moving forward as opposed to falling back. People from time to time will say, "Brother Justin, I just don't think I can make it another day." And then a month, 6 months, a year rolls by. And Brother Justin, again, something else has happened. "I just don't think I can make it another day." A year has passed, and they've made it. May not have been a bed of roses. May not have been bright blue skies spiritually and the sun shining on them, but guess what? The Lord gave them strength. They were able to soar. God can allow us to mount above our problems this morning and fly over our circumstances. And then lastly, He says, "They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That's just a continuation of the journey. He will give us patience to run and determination to walk. As they come this morning, there are consequences to bear. We all get at intersections of life where we think about fleeing or fighting. The circumstances, they differ. It can be faith-related. It can be family. It can be friends, finances, any other word you want to add in there. It can be anything. God this morning, the Lord wants us not to flee, but to face it. What is it the Lord is wanting you to face this morning? He promises He'll give you wings as eagles. He promises that if you allow Him to be your God and be your guide in your situation, He promises that He will give you sufficient grace, enough strength to continue. You may say, "Brother Justin, I just cannot wake up in the morning and go one more day." Trust the Lord day by day in His sufficiency. You'll look back and you'll be surprised at what the Lord can do. And again, you will soar over your circumstances. Fight or flight. David said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove." But then Isaiah mentions the eagle's wings. As we stand this morning, you may need to come and want to come, feel led to come, and change out wings this morning from dove wings to eagle wings. Fight or flight, whatever the case may be. Father, take the message, apply it to the heart, Lord, the hearts that needs it the most. I pray that it was a help, a means of encouragement in the times in which we're living. We'll praise You for everything You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Whatever song. Altars are open if you need to come this morning on the first verse. Would you come? We have some coming. Some already down here. Would you come?
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a prayer.
Anybody else?
Just fountain, free.
Take the high road this morning.
Lord, from Calvary's mountain, in the cross, in the cross.
Come and get out of that wilderness. We're still singing. We still have some here. Invitation to Facebook as well. If you need to pray, you can pray today. If you want to praise, you can praise today. Nobody's watching. Nobody's talking. Anybody else? I believe that'd be enough singing this morning. And thank you for listening to us this morning and for your participation by coming to the Lord's house today. And we appreciate that. Appreciate you. We'll be Facebook Live tonight. And 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. And anything else to mention before we close out? The offering. Thank you for those who just reminded me. Remember the offering, tithes and offerings. And I want to mention something just briefly. I was going to wait and just put it in the bulletin and then mention it next Sunday. Let me at least mention what I'm thinking. And, you know, normally we're getting ready for homecoming about this time of year. And I know that Floyd Road has homecoming today, and they're going into their jubilee this week. But what I want to do is, I want to do homecoming the second Sunday in September next month, not long. But we're going to omit the food this year because of, you know why. I don't even want to say it anymore. Somebody's already aggravated. So no food, and and Brother Allen is going to be working on a couple of things as far as music, but it's going to be bare bones this year. But we need to play it safe, I feel, and deacons do as well. I hadn't spoke with all of them. I know I spoke with me and Brother Ceylon. But anyway, I'll keep you informed on that. That's getting very close. It'll basically be like a morning like this, but with a stamp homecoming on it. And of course, we'll reach out and try to get the emeritus over here. So anyway, you help us pray about that and homecoming services that are coming down the road. That we would make the best decisions on that. All right, let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Anything else? Just wanted to throw that out there, let you know what I was thinking. All right. Tell you what, Brother Robert in the back, you want to close us out in prayer tonight, today, this morning?